the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Welcome to the program. It is my favorite show, and it's time to get going. That's right, the big show, Bucket Strategy Investing, where we got more of the best in money information for you, as we do every day here on the show. I'm Johnny Dean, Brain Trust, standing by in the form of Professor Rick Plum, who joins me yet again from Lucia Capital Group. A lot of things to talk about. We're going to ad-lib a couple of topics because we've had questions on a lot of stuff that I think we want to cover this hour. We're going to be starting things off with a discussion on blending buckets. Now, what in the world do we mean by that? Blending buckets. It sounds like an art form, doesn't it? Something you'd learn in art class. Well, we're going to tell you what it's all about. We're going to tell you why it's important to you and your financial plan and how it can work potentially to your advantage. Actually, the question on this is, how is it different from asset location or asset allocation, right? Does it complicate things? Which buckets need to be blended? So all that's going to be coming up here, and we'll tell you exactly what it is with Professor Plum in just a bit. Now, as for you and your part, this is a great time for you to ask your money questions. Phone lines are all open at 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. You can also head over to wealthed.com, send us an email or two or three at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Either way, you'll reach the Brain Trust and you will get your questions answered right here on the program. We do say hello yet again to Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, bringing him back into the limelight as if he needed any more. How's this for the advice? All right, advice number one for the hour. You need to get a strategy, one that addresses each of your needs and one that aims to make sure it's done right the first time, and one that could, by the way, anticipate what might go wrong, providing you with some kind of possible defense against that, right? The best way to win is to keep from losing, and we try to keep that in mind. You call our advisory team at Lucia Capital Group at this phone number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. I'll go out on a limb and say you need a bucket strategy. The Brain Trust advisors will put one together for you. You can talk to any of them about your financial future. Get your financial plan in order and get it going if you haven't done so yet. 800-644-1150. That's the number off the air. On the air, yeah, you know, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We've got some room on the phones right now, so any money question you have, you give us a call. All right, now, Professor Plum, when I bring up a topic like blending buckets, sounds complicated on the face of it, and underneath of it, by golly, it is.
It's pretty complicated.
It's pretty complicated, but we're going to make sure that at least in concept, people understand what this is, because... Well, why?
Well, because one of the largest expenses that a lot of people have in retirement is the taxes that they pay. And they don't want to pay those taxes. Some expenses are fun, vacations and other things. Some expenses are a drag, insurances and taxes. Taxes probably leading the charge there. So managing your taxes is what we're going to be talking about. And how do you manage your taxes? You've got, maybe you have a pension. It's taxable income for the most part. You've got Social Security. Well, that may or may not be taxable, depending upon what else is happening in your life. You've got assets, whether they be in an IRA or whether they be in your personal account or in a Roth IRA. How are they going to be taxed? And how is that going to affect the other items in your bucket of cash flow? So managing your taxes are a very important issue, because if I can cut down my taxes, not just today, but for over a long period of time, that's a lot of money in my portfolio. One of two things is going to happen. Either I don't have to earn as much, which means I don't have to take as much risk to maintain the spending that I want to do, or I can spend more money because I can have the same income that I was going to have before, but I don't give as much to Uncle Sam. That's a pleasant idea, actually.
All right, so how does this work? I mean, a basic bucket strategy, people would think of this, you got three buckets or five or four or whatever it happens to be. If you want to make it its most basic, you'll take one, two, and three, short,
right.
Medium,
we'll
long
that.
Term. We'll start with that. And so we'll say, well, wait a minute. So what, you're taking some of bucket three and putting it in bucket two?
No, we're not switching.
What do you mean
assets
by that?
The allocation remains the same. So if we've come up with an idea that we need $200,000, X amount of dollars, whatever it is, in bucket number one. And the characteristics of bucket number one are the investment characteristics of very low or no volatility, not huge, high returning areas, but very safe particular issues. And then bucket number two is a moderate investment. Bucket number three are more growth-oriented stock and things of that nature. That stays the same because we're trying to create the same amount of cash flow no matter what we're doing. Now, the next thing that comes into play is, well, where do we buy those investments? You talked about very safe investments that we're going to spend principal down on, bucket number one. Should I be buying that in my IRA or should I be putting those in my personal account? This is all part of the reason we do asset location. The reason it matters is because we're trying to create some form of tax efficiency over a period of time, not just today. But it can be done either way. You're looking for where should the cash flow be coming from? And how does that cash flow that I'm receiving affect other areas? Does it put me in another tax bracket? Does it make my Social Security taxable? Does it throw my capital gains and other investment income into a net investment income tax? Does it put me my AGI, adjusted gross income, over the threshold for the means testing of Medicare Part B and D? All of these things come into play when you have a portfolio and you have different types of money from personal IRA, Roth IRA. If 100% of your money is in the IRA, there is no discussion on blending.
No.
It's all coming from the IRA. There's no discussion on location. It's all in the IRA because there's no other place to have it.
And it's all going to be taxed exactly the same way when you take it out.
And it's just a matter of how much tax do you want to pay? Should you? Now the only question is, do you accelerate some of it by doing Roth conversions to be able to use up excess tax bracket? So that's not a location standpoint as much as it is just a pure tax bracket standpoint. Location and blending comes into tax brackets and personal money, IRA money, Roth money.
Okay, so we're going to explain what all this means as best we can. And all this really boils down to is the fact that different assets put in different types of accounts create different taxes. And sometimes if you have it in the wrong location, it's going to kick off more taxes than you really need to pay. So somebody like your financial advisor needs to be looking out for this kind of thing. All right, let's take a couple of calls. Excuse me, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. You have questions on anything at all, doesn't matter. We will talk to you about it right now. Moving along, next up, JT in Redwood City, California. Hi, JT.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you very much for taking the call.
I do
appreciate you guys actually take any financial question. This is on behalf of my mom. She's currently almost 70 years old. She's worked about 39 quarters. In her last quarter, she just didn't want to work. However, in order to qualify for Social Security, she did a couple of small jobs, and she's earned about $1,600 gross, that is, for the last quarter. So I think it will be, after deductions, it will be a net of about $1,000. But
what deductions?
I'm sorry?
What deductions are you talking about?
What she did was she worked for this program in which she had to feed some children and whatnot, so and basically for food from the children. It was some sort of a babysitting arrangement that she had.
Okay, so she's basically self-employed then, what you're saying?
Correct, that is correct.
Okay. And so her net self-employment income is only $1,000.
For the quarter, exactly, the last quarter. But she says she's done with it, she doesn't want to work, but she doesn't technically qualify. And if this quarter with $1,000 will actually allow her to do so.
Right. To get a quarter, and they don't even call them quarters anymore, to receive one credit, you need $1,260 for 2016. But you can earn, they don't do it by quarters anymore. I mean, if somebody made $10,000 in 1 month, they've earned all four credits that they can earn for the entire year. So if she made more than $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 in previous quarters of that same year, then she's picked up. They're looking at the annual income and applying credits to it, not just did she earn it in this quarter, that quarter, or this quarter. They're looking at the annual number.
I see. And what was that magic number?
1260 for 2016. Now,
1260.
Yeah, 1260 earns you one credit in the Social Security system. Doesn't get you much of a benefit, but now, was your mom married to your dad, and did your dad work in the U.S. and pay into Social Security?
No, unfortunately, he's been long gone, yeah.
And so he did not work in the U.S., he did not pay into Social Security?
That is correct.
Okay. I was looking for another way there. It will make a big difference on how much she pays for her Medicare. If she has 39 credits only and she wants Medicare, she can buy Medicare even though she doesn't have the full 40 credits, but it's going to cost her just for Medicare Part A like $250 a month, $3,000 a year. If she gets one more credit, $1,260, that Medicare Part A, once she gets her 40 credits, is free. That's a big incentive to work for one more credit.
Net, $1,260 net. That's what we're talking about.
Net self-employment income,
yeah.
Yes.
Hey, JT, listen, I have to take a break. If you want to hang on, we can talk to you more about this on the other side and explain exactly what it is he's talking about here. But this could be worth it for her.
If I were JT, I'd hire her to do something for me for $1,500 so that she could get it.
There's an idea. So hold on, JT. We'll talk to you more about this if you need it. 877-PLANNER. Lines are open. We're coming right back. Giving you the best of money information, I do believe that's a superlative that I can back up. Why? Because I make guarantees. Am I allowed? I don't know, but I'm going to. The best in money information. That's it. Here on the program, Bucket Strategy Investing. And I will even say that you're going to get the best in money information when you check out the Brain Trust in person, which you can do this Saturday. There'll be the next one, a workshop, 2016 Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshop, this Saturday in Phoenix, Arizona. It's March 12th. You can sign up still at wealthed.com. Our website, wealthed.com, is in wealth education. Join the Brain Trust, Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, the local advisors in Phoenix and Scottsdale. They're there to help you out and answer your money questions. Oh, and tell you all about these retirement income strategies that we talk about in the show. So this Saturday in Phoenix, after that, Portland, Oregon, that's a week from Saturday. Join us and Keith Lyons and the rest of the gang in Portland, Saturday the 19th, and a couple weeks after that, Houston, Texas. That's in April on the 9th. You want to know the entire schedule? Go to wealthed.com, which, as I said, by the way, is where you sign up for these. They're all free. Bring your money questions, no money involved. Just ask your questions, get them answered at these workshops in person. Once again, you go to wealthed.com. Okay, our phone lines are open. We got a few anyway, 877-PLANNER. Before we get to Eric in Portland, hang on 1 second. We were talking to JT before the break.
Right, and hopefully JT's still listening. He was talking about his mom is one credit short for her Social Security, or 40 credits, to be eligible for Medicare and a benefit. And in the last quarter, she's self-employed. In the last quarter, she only earned $1,000 net. And she needs that last quarter. She really does, because then it creates she's already over 65. She could get on Medicare, and the Medicare Part A would be free at that point. It would save her like $3,000 a year or so going forward for the rest of her life. So, JT, your mom has a couple of options. One is you can hire her and raise her income up a little bit, pay her to do something. She, you know, have her watch somebody, you know, just get her the income, or don't take the deductions for feeding the kids and doing the things she was doing before. Just make sure she shows enough income for that quarter of credit so that she can get to that 40th credit so she becomes eligible for the benefit. Either increase her income by hiring her, or just don't have her take the credits. People say, well, she'll pay taxes. No, she's not going to pay much in the way of taxes. She'll pay a little bit of Social Security tax, self-employment tax, 15.3. So let's say she showed an extra $1,000 of income for that particular time period. Extra $1,000 is going to cost her $153 in self-employment tax one time. And then she saves $3,000 a year for the rest of her life.
On Medicare.
Plus whatever potential benefits she may or may not get. Yeah, I would do that all day.
Yeah, hire her, or just say, you know what, if you
these
really want to
these expenses aren't legitimate, don't take those expenses.
Don't take the deductions, and then you're good to go. So, JT, I hope that helps you out. 877-PLANNER. We'll tell you more maybe later on about how these credits work with Social Security. They're not quarters anymore. You don't have to work for 3 months and all that stuff.
4 months.
Are there 4 times 3? Is that still 12? No, 3 times 4. It used to be a quarter, didn't it?
It used to be a quarter. There was 4 of them in a year.
How can there be 16 months in a year? A quarter, well,
a quarter but that's 3 months. Months.
That's what I said, 3 months. You said 4.
Well, 4 quarters.
Yes, 3 months was a quarter.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not true anymore. It's All right, let's move along. 877-PLANNER. I think we're talking about the same thing. P PLANNER. Eric, next in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Eric.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
I appreciate your insight on this. I'm part of a family LLC related to a vacation property in California. We have had a quite restrictive LLC operating agreement for the last 21 years and are looking to do a rewrite.
Okay.
A significant piece of that rewrite is to allow owners, members of the LLC to sell their shares to an outside party. And I don't know if there are legal issues with that. I understand we have to get a basis over various events that have happened over the years for capital gains assessment and so forth. But what do you see for issues with that?
Well, it can all be worked out. I mean, it's not such a thing that you can never change it. You do want to have your basis information. The person that's going to sell their share is going to want to know their basis information. You're going to want to talk with, you're going to put a team together, a good accountant and a good attorney, because you want the attorney, you need somebody to do the legal work, right? That can't be just somebody off the street. You don't want to do it yourself. You need an attorney to do the legal work, and you want an accountant to help you walk through the cost benefit or the issues involved in selling and not selling and how it's going to affect, if it affects anybody else. But yeah, you just want to get with a good CPA and a good attorney. It can be done. It's not that big of a deal, but you just want to have good representation there.
Yeah, and we have been working within the group on a rewrite to what our intention is, and then with the idea that, okay, then we can get an attorney to...
Right, so I mean, you've got to come to agreement and then say, okay, this is what we want it to say. Boom, 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 bullet points here, this, we want to be able to this. Take it to the attorney who's going to look at what it already says and see what they have to amend.
Okay. But no restriction on, as far as the laws pertaining to LLCs, that would restrict our ability to sell shares to an outside party.
No, that's more of, you know, the people that are staying in the LLC, you know, they're going to be in partnership business with somebody else that isn't a related party. And you said it was a vacation property. Do you rent it out or do you guys use it for family purposes?
A little bit of rental to cover some overhead, but primarily family use.
So, I mean, from my standpoint, if I have a family vacation spot that my family, we all own, and now we're selling pieces of it off to somebody else, what if I don't like that person and the way they take care of things? But how much say do I have in not, you know, if I own, you know, 20% of it with four other parties who each own 20%, and my brother wants to sell his interest because he didn't like the lake house anyway, he hates water, whatever the case may be. And now I'm in partnership, basically, with somebody I don't know, I don't like their friends, the way they take care of things, they trash it all the time, they balk at, you know, paying any assessment for a roof or other repairs or anything. It's kind of a pain. So that's where the problems come in. It's not the legal aspects, it's the relationship.
Yeah, we've had some of those discussions related to that, and really the consensus is that they're really, whoever bought shares from the outside couldn't be possibly any more contentious than the current members within the family that we have.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, family is family, yes.
That's it. That's, yeah. Sounds about normal.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I like that. All right, good attitude.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Okay, good luck to you.
Eric, good luck. I was going to say you'll need it, but he's already seen the worst of it. So.
Well, he thinks.
Well, it's likely. I, you know, sometimes dealing with strangers is
easier than dealing with family.
Yeah, because you don't have any ties to strangers. You know, you can tell them to, you know, kiss off or whatever if you need to, or, you know, it's just a lot more difficult with family. And when you're working with family, the problems that come back to you seem to be magnified simply because they are family.
Dad always liked you better. You know, those kinds of issues.
Well, and that's kind of what you wind up with. This is a limited.
It's an LLC. It's a formalized partnership agreement, which makes things a little bit easier than a straight partnership.
Yeah, it makes things easier from a liability standpoint. That if one person strays or whatever, then the others are, you know, protected to some degree. Okay, we got more to talk about. I got some of this stuff on blending buckets, also Roth IRAs. We're going to talk about some of the basics of that. Anything else that's on your mind, you give us a call because we got lines open. If you don't call, we talk. So give us a call. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, coming back on Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Call us, because we can't call you. We don't have your number. So you give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. That's how that works, and I think it works very well. 877-752-6637. I want to remind you, before we go back to the calls, that we've had some questions again on Social Security. You may have some questions on the new laws that have been taking effect, that took effect back in November, still affecting some people now, and they will for quite some time. If you need to know about these things, there's a free guide you can download from our Facebook page. Big changes coming to Social Security. I would change that to say the big changes are already here for most of us. If you need to know about some of these rules, you go to our Facebook page, Wealth Ed. You're on Facebook, type in Wealth Ed. You'll find us there. One of the top links will be particular link that will allow you to download it from our website. You can also go to our website, click on the Facebook link near the top of the page. That'll bring you to the same place. Big changes with Social Security. If you need to know about them, download the guide, read it, and it's all it's kid tested and Professor Plum approved. Just read it for yourself. Very quick read. Again, our Facebook page on Social Security. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's get back to the phone lines. Karen in San Bernardino, California is next. Hi, Karen. I think. Because I wanted to know what a 501(c)(3) is. That's what it says on the screen. Karen, are you with us? No, maybe not. Okay. Well, hold on then. We'll see if somebody's there. It said 501(c)(3). I'm thinking this is either a 501(c)(3) question on a charity or a 403(b) question or a 403, or something with 501 genes.
Yeah, the old button-up fly?
Yeah.
The Levi button-ups?
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, all right, well, hang on. We'll see if we can.
I haven't heard about 501s for a long time.
I don't know what those, that I know, but anyway, okay.
That was a big thing to have back in the 70s, you know.
I had Tough Skins. Did you ever have Tough Skins?
The Sears brand?
Yes, but those are the ones with the different colors. You could get purple and
and they never softened up, and they basically, and then
no, they didn't.
When you cut the knee out of them, your mom would iron on some patch inside that would cut your knee even more.
I think it came with the iron patches inside the knees. You ran with those things. Those things were stiff. They were like running in armor.
Yeah.
Basically. You couldn't break them. Nothing could tear them.
You could break. We tore those things all to shreds, and they hurt worse once you tore them.
Well,
it was
anyway.
Like it was like wire mesh instead of fat. Anyway. The 501(c) is what people talk about, charitable organizations. 501(c)(3) is the most common one that we see out there for charitable organizations. But there's 29 different 501(c)s, ranging from fraternal organizations.
Now, these are officially recognized charities, is that right?
Well, non-tax-exempt entities. And then there's 501(d), E, F. And there's 501 just deals with tax-exempt areas.
Okay, well.
Then there's 501(c), 501(c)(3), 501(c)(34). There's all kinds of stuff.
877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We had a couple of emails that just came in a little bit ago, but I want to get to Mark in Federal Way, Washington, with this email. What is the base interest rate on an I-bond purchase in October 2001? Professor Plum, any chance that you had that looked up ahead of time?
No.
Well, okay.
But it's 3%. It went to 2% in November of 2001.
Yeah, so you didn't look it up. You already knew that.
That was right where they started dropping the rates. I mean, when I-bonds first came out, they had a great core rate. Now, is your I-bond that you bought in October 2001 earning 3% today? Nope. It's probably earning about 1.8%, 1.9%. But it has a core rate of 3. How could it be earning less than 3? Because there's a negative inflation factor, or there was. I haven't looked at this month, but the core rate can be reduced by a negative inflation. Now, it can never be reduced lower than 0, so you can never lose money on an I-bond. But you may not be earning the core rate if we have a period of time where there's a deflationary period with the CPI. So unfortunately, right now, the brand new bonds purchased today have a core rate of 0.1. Before last November, they had a core rate of 0. And so the worst you can do is earn 0, and that's about what they're doing, and that's what they're expected to do for quite some time.
Yeah.
But your bond has a core rate of 3, less or added, and then there's a formula for either adding to or reducing it by an inflationary component. I-bonds, savings bonds, have two pieces of the rate. One is a core rate that's issued, that is fixed at issue, stays with the bond for the life of the bond. The other is an inflationary component, and there's a formula for determining what your actual rate of return is, and it's a combination of these two.
Yeah, and by the way, that second rate, inflation rate, that can vary
based on the CPI,
it varies every 6 months. I think it comes out May and November.
They reset the rates every May 1st and every November 1st. Your bond doesn't necessarily reset on those days. It resets on whatever the semi-annual anniversary after that point. So an October bond didn't reset in May. It reset in October. Then they set a new rate for the next semi-annual period that started in November. They don't reset until April.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, and I think you mentioned this years and years ago when they came out, this core rate plus the inflation rate. Well, the inflation rate can actually be a negative one if they
want. From time to time, the CPI does show a negative period, and that negative rate can take away from the core rate. It can't make the combined rate go to less than zero.
Right.
You cannot lose principal that you've already earned in an I-bond, a savings, Series I savings bond. But it can't take away the rate. So it's not guaranteed 3.6% for the rest of time if you bought it in 1999.
So that's right. So if you had one with a 0% rate, and I think there might be three people in all the country who bought one of those, but one with a 0% rate,
core rate
or 0.1%, and if you somehow had a negative inflation rate where it was down, you know, 0.1 or 1 or whatever it is,
you can't go below zero.
No. Currently, we don't have negative interest rates.
Well, but even if we had negative interest rates, you can't lose money on a Series I bond. A TIP is different. Those have at times had a negative rate on them, especially at issue. But I-bonds cannot go backwards.
I-bonds are supposed to protect against the harmful effects of inflation, which if we happen to have inflation where you had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, I mean, an I-bond could, in theory, make sense.
Not with a core rate of 0.1.
Not now, no, but when
not
they first came out.
30-year hold.
But you won't have that. If you had inflation up around 7%.
When they first came out, back in 98, the core rate of 3.4% went up to 3.6%, hovered there for a little bit, stayed above 3 all the way until towards the end of 2001, as we're talking about here. Those were reasonable investments from a safety standpoint. I mean, they got whatever the inflation is. Now, admittedly, sometimes there's been a couple periods where you haven't earned the core rate because the inflation factor is taken away from it, but that's still been a reasonable rate of return. But with a core rate of 0, when I have something that I'm going to put money aside for 20, 30 years, the goal is to outperform inflation.
But you can't.
Not just match it. And that's all you're going to do with a core rate of 0 or 0.1.
Yeah, that's why buying it now wouldn't make sense. But if someday you had inflation around 6, 7% or whatever it happens to be, the core rate is certainly going to be a lot higher at that point.
And hopefully they'll bring them back up if interest rates come back up.
When that's going to be or if that's going to be, nobody really knows. All right, 877-PLANNER. This just came in, too. We'll see if you can answer this. This is from Dave in Jacksonville. Dave says, I want high-yielding, monthly, tax-free or tax-exempt income investments. What choices do I have, and where can I get a list of the information I need to invest in them? High-yielding,
so I want high-yielding,
tax-free or tax-exempt income
investments. Do you want safety with that, too? Do you want security? Do you want to make sure you get your money back at the end of it? Because that's a really easy list to look at right now. There's nothing on it. There are places to get what they are called high yield tax-free investments. There are mutual funds, high yield tax-free investments. Are they super safe or secure? Nope. And to get high rates of return, you have to go way down on the credit risk, or in the credit scale, excuse me, or way out on the maturity scale, or both. Now, you can buy junk bonds, high yield bonds, same thing, that pay better than what a corporate or a high quality bond will do. But you have risk. And like I said, to get a high rate of return, you're usually going out very long on the maturity scale. And if we have interest rates go up, you're going to lose money. If we have a recession, you have a chance of default. Even in a mutual fund, you may have some defaults, whether it's a mutual fund ETF or an individual bond. You have risk. There is nothing at this time that pays a high yield Forget the tax-free part of it. There's nothing that pays a high yield that has any safety to it. There is risk in everything you do. You can get mutual funds that pay out monthly. I mean, that's not hard to do. You can go on to Morningstar.com, go down their list of funds. There's a fund ranking, category ranking. Look for high yield. You know, look for the ones that are yielding the highest. But that's only part of the battle. What risk are you taking to get that return?
Yeah, there's never been anything. I don't care where interest rates have been. There's never been anything that's been high yielding and safe at the same time.
Relative to
high
the rates.
Yielding is all relative. Right. A high yield, if you got a treasury bond like we had back in 1981, paying 14% interest, high yielding is not 14.1 anymore.
That was average.
That's right. High yielding is somewhere up in the 30s probably. Which I guess it could be still today. 877-PLANNER, we got some room on the phones. 877-752-6637. More to come. Blending buckets, Roths, and anything else that's on your mind. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. The Brain Trust, standing by. More of your questions and answers when we come back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Another hour of this coming up. So if you didn't like this hour, you certainly won't like next hour. Let's say that the other way. If you love this hour, as you should have, you're really going to love next hour. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about these Roths that we were sort of alluding to earlier and maybe give you some of the basics of Roth IRAs and understanding that there are a lot of people out there that don't quite understand how they work. And if we can explain some of that, so much the better. That's what it's all about, wealth education on this program. And speaking of wealth education, I want to remind you one more time, at least for today, that or this hour, I'll remind you again later, Phoenix, Arizona, this Saturday. Plum, you're going to be driving out to Phoenix tomorrow.
I will be.
Join the Brain Trust in Phoenix. Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, there's still some room left at the
Desert Ridge. Desert Ridge, Phoenix.
That's right. It's a Desert Ridge. And we've been there so many times. Anyway.
Beautiful place.
Oh, it's great. It's great. You can make a weekend out of it.
You can make a week out of it.
Well, you really could. But if all you have is the weekend, join the Brain Trust there on Saturday. Learn all about, about buckets, but also about retirement income strategies. That's what this is all about. And get your money questions answered. Any money question you have, there will be time after the show. However much time you need to ask your money questions and get them answered, the topics just run the gamut. It doesn't matter. Social Security, annuities, insurance. I imagine in Phoenix you're going to have quite a few annuity questions, but you never know.
We tend to get those there, yes.
Yes, we do. So anyway, join the Brain Trust this Saturday. There will be more coming up. Check wealthed.com. That's where you sign up, by the way, wealthed.com. It's all free, and you got like 48 hours to get it done there in Phoenix. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We didn't get a chance, really, because we had some calls, et cetera, to go through some of this blending of buckets. I thought we could make it really simple. It's more complicated than perhaps I want to get into. But what it all comes down to, Professor Plum, is a much simpler overarching topic, which is locating your assets.
Right.
What do we mean when we say that? What assets, first of all, are we talking about? And where are you supposed to locate them?
Well, we're talking about all your assets. I mean, whether you buy you first come up with your asset allocation. How much money should you have in, you know, cash, bonds, stocks, real estate, other types of investments? And then once you have an idea of how you want your allocation to be set up from an investment standpoint, now you look at it, what kind of accounts do you want? How do you know which kinds of accounts? Well, the rules of thumb are, let your capital gain assets be invested in your personal account. Your Roth IRA, that's a wild card, it can go either way. And you put your income producing assets in your IRA. But what if that creates too much taxable income right away? What if it creates a bad situation from a tax situation because you're getting all your income from your IRA? Well, then you may want to split up how you go about putting those assets in place. Maybe you put some of your income producing assets in bucket number one in your personal account, because bucket number one is a drawdown of not only the interest that's being earned potentially on those investments, but a return of some principal on them as well. You're going to spend bucket number one down over a period of years, 6, 7, 8 years. And so that return of principal, if it's coming from my personal account, even though I'm getting the cash flow that I want, isn't a taxable event. It's my money. I'm getting it back. So that is one way to somehow or some way blend and manage the tax bill. I still get the cash flow, but because a portion of the cash flow is not taxable, it brings down my adjusted gross income. Bringing down my adjusted gross income may bring my Social Security less, make it less tax taxable, or even bring it all the way out of taxation. It may be bring my income down to where I don't pay Medicare Part B higher premiums. It may bring my adjusted gross income down to where I can now deduct some of my medical expenses. There's a lot of things that are driven by the tax return. How much I pay in taxes is just one of the issues. All these other areas can impact it. So knowing where the income is coming from, knowing where the cash flow is coming from, if I need X amount of dollars per month, does 100% of that X need to be from a taxable source? Unfortunately, a lot of people make the mistake of doing exactly like that from a taxable source where they live on interest only from their bond portfolio, and they leave their IRA alone to grow until they have to take required minimum distributions. And that may not be the most efficient use of it to start with, but then by the time they get to the required minimum distributions, it's definitely not the most efficient use, because now I still have my interest and the RMD. That gets expensive in many cases right away.
So is it a question of you're taking income from your portfolio, whether it doesn't matter where it is. These assets are...
You're going to be taking income from your portfolio. Right. In retirement, you've decided you don't have enough pensions, you don't have enough Social Security, so you need some more income. Where are you going to get it?
Right. And so where the income comes from is going to result in perhaps a tax bill. Now, if it results, in some cases, there's no tax on some of that income. In some cases, there's a capital gains tax associated with that
income. Qualified dividend.
Qualified dividend or ordinary income taxes.
Right. And so you have to look at it. And even if you do set it up that you're pulling your income from your IRA, so maybe you decided that you can't afford to have all your income from your IRA, so you have an idea of what your tax is going to be like, and you got your personal account invested for long-term growth, you also have to account for the fact that even though you're investing those dividends, even though you're reinvesting any capital gain distributions, the reinvestment doesn't get you away from the taxation of it if it's in your personal account. You have to consider that as well. So the first issue with asset location, the first issue with blending buckets, is understanding taxes. And unfortunately, it's the area, the least understood area for most investors out there.
Yeah, it's the least understood area for most investors, and I think it's the one that most investors, quite frankly, don't necessarily want to understand. I think it's something where they would say, look, you know what, you're my advisor, this is what I'm, you know, I'm paying you to do this, make this the most tax efficient for me.
But that sometimes sends the wrong message, because what many people will hear is,
I don't want to pay taxes.
As little taxes today as possible.
Yeah.
And so don't send me a dime of my IRA. Create tax-free, put all my money in tax-free municipal bonds so I have tax-free income from there. And all that does is potentially push off a big problem. Or unfortunately, where I've seen it happen a lot is a retiree, they put all their money, they have their IRA money and they have their personal money, and to avoid the taxes on the capital gains and the qualified dividends, they take all their personal money and put it into annuities. And now 100% of their money is growing tax deferred. But that also means 100% of the earnings, 100% of the IRA and whatever the earnings are from the annuities will be taxable. No step up in basis, no preferential capital gain treatment, no preferential qualified dividend treatment. And it's a ticking time bomb for your heirs, and maybe for you if 5, 10, 15 years down the line you realize, oh, I need some money. And oh, that's gonna hurt.
All I've got is IRA money.
And annuity money.
And annuity
That's
money.
That's going to leave a mark.
And how is that going to be taxed, Professor Plum?
Heavily.
Heavily, as in the highest tax rate, which is ordinary income tax rate. So your advisor should be thinking about it. If they're not thinking about it, you need to talk to somebody like Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors at Lucia Capital Group. They can help you out with your buckets, with whatever issues you have with your portfolio. 800-644-1150. That's the number off the air to talk to Professor Plum. 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER. Why? Because we got another hour coming up. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.